Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, everyone. How are you? This is your host, Trish McKnight, live to you from Your Voice Radio Network. Looks like our video is having some problems here. The video is live online. You can catch it through our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/yourvoiceradio2017. Bringing you Your Voice Radio live from the Red Room, as always. Today, I'm going to be bringing to you a couple of topics that, in fact, many people out there are going to get upset with me for discussing because we're going to be talking about some really serious issues and something that a lot of families are most definitely feeling the brunt of on both sides. We have varying opinions across the country on this. We have different types of situations that affect different families. But I want to bring this topic out because I'm contacted quite a bit on this. Somebody having a problem with somebody on one side of the family, another side of the family, a stepchild. Maybe there is a problem with a family court system or CYS system. Good morning to our viewers. Thank you very much for joining us here. I hope that you enjoy the video. Remember that Your Voice Radio, we're a team. We have Donna Shear and Lee Roberts who do the two Nanas at noon, the first and third Wednesday of every month. We also have Dr. Amelia Rose, who broadcasts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Monday night. She has 30 years experience in family unification, family recovery and rebuilding, as well as family services, social services arena. So we're really lucky to have her on our team, and she has a vast history of information to share. So I do hope that you catch Donna and Lee Roberts with their programming, as well as Dr. Rose with her programming. Of course, I'm Trish McKnight, author of My Justice. I am also a Illinois certified domestic violence and child abuse advocate and a certified human trafficking instructor. Now, there isn't a whole lot of call for what I do here in the Clinton County rural area where I live at in southern Illinois. But most definitely, most of the crimes in southern Illinois involving family challenges are very much hidden, and rarely do they come out and speak forward because of the fear of you're going to tarnish the family name in a very small community. In small communities, just like living in a little apartment building, everyone knows your business. And once it gets out there, it's hard to recover from that. So, you know, what I do travel from Springfield to Effingham County for speaking engagements and training seminars. I'm also a panel member for the St. Clair County Domestic Violence Offender Reform Program. Get busted in St. Clair County one time for domestic violence, and you're going to have to go through a three-month course, just like a DUI course. And at the end of that course, you're going to meet me, and you're going to listen to what I have to say. So be careful out there, and remember, you don't have to hit. You don't have to hurt. You don't have to torture. You can't make somebody succumb to your will. Walk away. Get out of the relationship. If somebody's trying to control how you wear your hair, what you wear, where you go, if they're on your phone all the time wondering what in the world you're doing out there, if they are constantly keeping you at home, you can't work, you can't have your own money, you can't have your own life, and you can't have your own dreams, you don't need that relationship. You need to blossom as yourself. And trust me, it took me 37 years to learn that. So be careful out there. Be careful with yourselves. Respect yourself enough to move forward and seek something that you want to be in this life. All right, so we're going to get on with the show now. As I said, please catch the live video broadcasting through facebook.com/groups/yourvoiceradio2017. Call me live in the studio if you have a comment on our material today. Call-in number for our studio, 929-477-2779. All right, I put it out there earlier. We are talking about parental alienation as our first subject. And I got to tell you, this is a very personal issue for me. I can give you an example just from my own experience. This happened in my children's lives, my life, my children's lives, and even in my grandchildren's lives. So I'm done seeing this cycle go through my family. I am sick and tired of seeing this cycle go through my family. It takes two people to make a child. Now, maybe it's a one-night stand. Maybe it's a long-term relationship. Maybe it's a marriage. Either way, it takes two people. Now, maybe the first couple of years work out fine. Maybe there's a connection. Maybe the child is able to see both parents. Maybe both parents are involved whenever the child is born. Maybe they split up at around, let's say 3 to 5 years old, which by then the happy baby times are done, and we are moving on to bigger and better things, all right? Relationship falls apart. Parents go their own way. The link they still have in common, those two made that child. Now, that child, regardless of who they are, regardless if they have never met their other parent, regardless if mom turned the baby over to dad, regardless of dad walking out, that child is going to always long to know who they are. So unless you have proof in some form that your kid is being hurt by the other parent, maybe they come home from visits neglected, still in the same clothes, maybe their teeth aren't brushed, maybe they haven't been fed, maybe they sat around watching mom or dad do drugs all weekend, maybe they're being sexually harmed, maybe they're being threatened, maybe they're being physically harmed. Okay, fine. Then get you a restraining order, get you a protection from abuse order, and make sure that you go through the proper channels and that there is supervised visits. But that child still deserves and will want to know who their parent is. Parental alienation is a severe traumatic psychological effect on children. I know from firsthand experience. I loved my dad. I treasured my dad. I treasured my grandparents. My grandma McKnight loved me from the bottom of her heart and never once ever let me down from showing me that love. And I remembered that. Even though my parents got divorced when I was 3 years old, my dad would come get us, myself and my brother, from my mother's first marriage. So even his stepson was included. Take us to go watch his drag races, give me all of his trophies, because he was doing it for me. He would take us to the zoo. He would come swing me on the swing set. He stayed in touch with me. I knew that my father loved me, without a doubt. I knew that my grandparents and my aunts and uncles, I knew that they loved me. I remember my 5th birthday like it was yesterday, getting my Mickey Mouse gumball machine and my huge life-size Nurse doll that my dad had gotten me. And I treasured those gifts. I was so excited to have those gifts. And it was the last time that I saw anyone or talked to anyone from the McKnight side of the family until I became an adult. I was 19 years old when they finally found me and had the police come knocking on the door and asking me if I had a brother by the name of Jim McKnight. And you should have seen the look on the police officer's face when I said, no, I have a dad named Jim McKnight. Because they knew me as my stepfather's daughter. They all knew that he was my stepdad, but he wanted them to believe that he had adopted me or that he had taken over control of me, which he did. From the moment that I returned home on my 5th birthday, never again was I allowed any contact or allowed to communicate or even go visit or share a phone call or a holiday or anything else with the McKnight side of the family. I grew up in a horrific home, being horrifically abused by my stepfather, my mother's slave, my sibling's caregiver, the housekeeper, the cook, you name it. Those were my chores from the time I was 9 years old. So I was told nothing about my father. I was told he was a lumberjack and that all of his family were lumberjacks. I was told that there was Irish Indian heritage. And that was about the extent of it. That is all I knew about my family, about my DNA. I had been shaped and formed into this other person that my mother and my stepfather wanted me to be. It was horrible. The person that left their home at 17 went through a lifetime of feeling ashamed, of feeling hurt, of feeling angry, of feeling hatred, of feeling abandonment, of feeling, who am I and what is it that I'm made of? Every child goes through this. My kids, when their dad and I divorced, our second divorce, I remarried my first husband for the children. And we did try. It didn't work. So my kids were 5 years old, 3 years old, and 9 months old. I went to work. He disappeared with my kids, left Maryland where we were living, and ran to the state of Pennsylvania with his parents. Now, I couldn't do anything about it because there was no custody agreement. We hadn't even filed for divorce yet. He just ran. So he had as much right to take my children out of the state as I did to either chase after them and fight him for him or to remain in Maryland. And without a job, which because of some details that happened, I ended up losing my job. I was homeless. I had no vehicle. It was a mess. It was a disaster. Once again, abandonment, anger, shame. Guilt, you know, fear. What are my kids going through? He repeatedly, for 4 long years, put my children in bad situations, hurt them physically, told them mother doesn't want you. You are not important to your mother. She is no good for you. Threatened my life on the phone. Told me that I was only alive because he was a nice man. Otherwise, they would find my body floating down the Allegheny River. Now, that's a brutal thing when you just rip young children away from a parent. My kids, it took 2 years. Let's go with the first time I got visitation. So I moved to Pennsylvania. I set up life. I get a job. I go. I want visitation with my kids. I'm granted every other weekend. We have an agreement. He's dropping off the kids. He's sending them, you know, he's picking them up on Sunday night. One Sunday, he doesn't get there till 11 o'clock and he's stone cold drunk. And I'm begging him, just let him sleep over. You can pick him up tomorrow. No big deal. You know, they're already asleep. No, 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 no. It was a huge fight. Next thing I know, he's putting the kids in the car, smashing me up against a brick wall and taking off. I had to go to court. He refused to let me see the kids. Next thing I know, I'm in court and I'm fighting for my right. And the attorney actually tells me that if I drop the assault charges on him, then he will let me see my kids. So I got told, no assault charges against him, and you can see your children. Okay, fine. I wanted to see my kids. I get visitation. He starts bringing it around. And I got to tell you, you know, when he got there and I started that visitation process again, he wanted to go for a third time on our marriage. When I refused, he packed up. I had started a life. I had a great job. I had everything going for me. I was paying child support. My kids were on my medical coverage, and I was seeing them on a regular basis, trying to rebuild that bond that for 4 months had been destroyed. Now, all of a sudden, I'm at work one day, and I'm in a meeting. I did custom wheelchairs, and I'm in a meeting about this new wheelchair and these new gel cushions and pressure points and all of this. And I come back from the meeting, which took all day, mind you, and I find a pink message slip on my desk that tells me he's on his way to Oklahoma with the kids. He will call me when he figures out where they're going. Oklahoma. I'm in Pennsylvania. Not only did he go from Maryland to Pennsylvania with them, but then he met a woman from Oklahoma and took off to Oklahoma with my kids. So am I going to pack up and leave this state again? Am I going to pack up everything I have and leave the life that I have been building for 3 years, the good job that I have? No. I'm going to fight him. And I tried. I went to court twice. Make him bring my children back. I didn't know how badly my kids were being hurt by this woman and her two boys. She had lost custody of those boys for a number of reasons, one of them being sexual deviation. So needless to say, 8 months later, when I got my kids back, they were messed up. There were some things that they learned that they should never have learned. There were some things that happened in their lives. And my son, I went to go take cookies to his school for his eighth birthday. It was his eighth birthday. They had just gotten back from Oklahoma. I walked into the classroom and he spotted me. He stood up from his desk. He froze and then he moved two chairs away from me and would not come near me. He was terrified of me. And I was just bringing cookies for him to share with his classroom for his birthday. But he didn't know what to think of his mom. I didn't know what he had been through for those 8 months that they were gone. So trying to rebuild that bond, even though I got custody back of my kids a few months later, and then they lived with me for the rest of their time, and I kept open communication with their dad. They could pick up the phone, call him anytime they wanted to. He could see them anytime he wanted to. He could take them wherever. He took them clothes shopping. I got minimal child support. I agreed to whatever he wanted to agree to just so I could have my kids back. And I took on that responsibility. And I got out of the violent relationship after my kids were back with me for like 2 years. They lived with it. And my husband wasn't mean with my kids. He played with my kids and he wrestled with my kids, and they had a great relationship together. But the alcoholism and the violence really wore down on my kids, and I began to see what was happening to them. I had to get them out of there. Only place to send them, back to their dads. But he didn't run. He understood I needed to get out of there. He knew it, and he gave me that time so that I could get us a place to live, and then he sent my kids back. But over time, even now as adults, I'm their mom, but at the same time, there is a huge problem, that nourishing, nurturing, loving bond that we have had, because my babies, they were my everything. They were the greatest gift that God had ever given me. I didn't think that I would ever be able to have kids. They told me I couldn't. So when I did have kids, they were my treasure. They were my life. They were my breath. Everything I did for my kids. And to know that he had broken that, that a piece of them would be forever doubting and disconnected from me, that we wouldn't be able to share that love and that bond and the guilt that I carry for how it happened, why it happened in the first place, because that was on me. You know, I was working and I went out with some girls one night and I ended up with a bouncer. My bad. I cheated. Did I deserve to have my kids ripped away from me? No. I was a fantastic mom. My kids were spotless. My house was spotless. Dinner was there every night. We did learning sessions together. My children made honor roll. We had a fabulous, fabulous mother-child connection. They were my world. I just wasn't happy in my marriage. Doesn't mean that he should have destroyed anything. Doesn't mean that any parent has a right to destroy anything. Because whether it was my mother ripping me away from my family and keeping me away from them, I am so grateful that I've started having cousins and aunts and uncles following me on Facebook. And it's awesome. I actually have a cousin that wasn't even born when all of this happened. But yet he's connecting with me and he wants me. He's welcomed me as part of the family. And God, does he look like my dad. And he's a lumberjack and he worked the last 15 years of my dad's life with him. So it's phenomenal to me to have that back and to know someone who knew my dad, who can tell me what the McKnight side of me is all about. But I'm 54 years old now. I don't want any child to feel that. And like I said, this is even happening with my grandchildren. You know, my grandson being kept away from his father, step-parents, it happens in everybody's. If you have a child and you and the other parent cannot get along and you're moving on with your life and they're moving on with their life just because of a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse or even a spouse and their children doesn't mean that they are going to welcome and treat your child the same. Stepchildren have a hard enough time as it is. And unless they know that they can go to their parent about concerns and that they can talk openly with their parent and that their parent will help them, you're leaving these kids to figure out and to, you're pushing them down this huge negative road. And they are going to cover that negativity, whether it's being treated like a quote-unquote typical stepchild or whether it is being kept away from a parent or if it is being kept away from even phone calls and Skype and messaging with the parent, because we have that kind of a connection now that we can give kids that we didn't have years ago. They should all know where they come from, and no parent has any right to erase the other half of that DNA. If you have problems with the other parent that they are abusing or hurting your kids or neglecting your kids, then it's up to you to make sure that there are family counseling services and reunification processes that go through, supervised visits, going into counseling. Make sure that that child knows that they have a say, that they can absolutely determine their own opinion about their family. Because remember, you're not just keeping them away from a man or a woman. You're keeping them away from the person who created them. They're always going to have that DNA inside of them. And you can only control what they think and what they do for a certain amount of time. So when that time comes, guess what? You're going to be the one that they end up despising. You're going to be the one that has kept your child from figuring out who they really, really are and learning and developing their own opinions about who their parents are, what kind of people are both of their parents? What kind of people, what kind of heart do they have inside? What makes them strong? What makes them like this food or that food? What gives them blue eyes? What gives them dark hair? What gives them huge body build or a small body build? This is your child's DNA, and they need to know. They deserve to know, because they're not pieces of this huge chess game that is being played. They are not pawns in your control game or your narcissistic attitude game. These are human beings. And every time, now granted, okay, if the mother or the dad wants to be out of the picture, you've got no choice but to explain that also to your child and to tell them, you know what, they really just don't want, I've tried. I've let you try to call them. Here's the number I have for them. But what about the grandparents on that family? What about the aunts and the uncles and the cousins on that family? Don't they deserve to know them, even if they don't know the parent? Or even if the parent doesn't want to be in the picture? Even if they've been adopted by a step-parent, you know, don't they deserve to know where they come from and who they are inside? Nobody has a right to destroy that DNA, to destroy that blood bond that is there. And trust me, they are going to long for it forever. Taken away from my father and the McKnight family at 5 years old, my entire life has been longing to find out who I am. Do the McKnights want me? Do they even know what I'm doing? How do I reach them? How can I find them? What am I supposed to say to them? I can remember meeting my dad at my grandfather's funeral at 19 and not knowing even what to call him. Do I call him Jim? Do I call him Dad? How do I talk to his little girls and tell them that I'm their sister? How do I talk to him? What do I tell him about? Do I tell him about the horrific life that my mother and stepfather gave me? That's not a conversation whenever you are only having, you know, 48 hours with your parent to reunite. You want to know the positive. How do I find out about him? You know, how do I tell him how much I cherish these memories that we do have? And children will remember. They will carry that inside of them. If they have any kind of a beginning bond, it's going to be there. And it's going to be there forever. And if they don't have that bond, because nowadays we have a lot of baby mamas and baby daddies or whatever. You know, like I said, just because you two as adults cannot get along, this child is a brand new person, and no one has a right, unless that child is being hurt, and then you need to involve the proper authorities and get that services going. Try and build that family bond together, because it's for the best interest of the child, and we have lost that. We have lost this statement, and even though we say it, maybe 100 times, you know, even though social services says it, and even though family court says it, there is an age limit as to when they will start accepting a child's voice in a court system. Pennsylvania, it's 12 years old. Illinois, it's 14 years old. Every state has its different limits. Find out what is available in your state. If you want to make contact with your child and you want to start rebuilding that bond, take it to court. If you are suffering financial hardship, you can file financial hardship for court costs and still defend yourself and prove to the courts that you are a good person. I don't do drugs, and yes, I was a good parent, and I don't know why they're keeping me away from my kids. I need counseling, and my child needs help. Do something. Don't just sit online and gripe about it, because that doesn't do anyone any good. And whenever you are sitting there online, and you are bad-mouthing the other parent, or you get a phone call, and you are telling your kid all the time that, you know, your parent Your mother's a piece of garbage. Your dad doesn't pay his damn child support and doesn't want anything to do with you. All you are doing is putting that burden, that disgust that you feel for their parent, you're making your child feel that. Not against their parent, but against themselves. And they are thinking, oh my God, this is half of me. So that means they don't like the other part of me. How can I do it? How can I make me okay that my parents will want me? Even if I'm being raised by a mom and a step-parent or a dad and a stepmom, doesn't matter. They are going to struggle and they are going to beg for your approval. And they are always going to be searching for the parent who they don't know and the family they never got a chance to know. So don't destroy your child by keeping them away from the family that they deserve to know. Because I can tell you at 54 years old, it rips your heart out to have your cousins and to have your uncles reach out and say, well, hey, how you been all this time? And we love you and we want to welcome you into our home and into our family, and we'll always be thinking of you, and we've been thinking about you for years. Guess what? That's a whole lot of hurt. I know. I feel it, not just in myself, but I see what my grandchildren are going through. I know the difficulty that my kids and I are still having on certain issues and how certain conversations can become very difficult for us, and it all goes back. It goes back to the 4 years that their father had them, the repeated horrible things that they were told about their mother, the mother that they knew and loved, who just one day, that's it, gone, disappeared. They were torn away. And, you know, then, you know, my babies had security blankets, and they were spoiled, rotten babies. And, you know, they had to burn them and they had to get rid of them and they were no longer allowed this and they were no longer allowed that. And, you know, they were being hit and horrible things that they still have not dealt with, that they still carry around inside of them, and that still causes communication problems between us. They feel that their mother let them down. And I carry that guilt. I carry that shame. And I've tried their entire lives to make up for it, but doesn't mean that that's been successful. My grandchildren, I see them. I see them struggling. I see them working so hard to make the parent that they live with happy, to make their step-parents accept them, to, you know, even despite learning challenges, because maybe the other parent, and trust me, I've seen that within my own children, not being able to be the parents they need to be. So, you know, they're struggling from that. And rather than getting them the help that they need, working with counselors and, you know, giving them that stability and that love and reinforcing that family bond, you know, step-parents and step-family are pushing these kids as if they are nothing because they are a piece of the other parent and they're not their children. Everybody knows, you know, step-kids, it's hard. It's very hard. It's hard to get that bond. It's hard to develop that. And if they've been hurt and they come into your home and you're not willing to go that extra step for them, you know, that just leaves them that much more beaten down and struggling. And where are they going to be when they are 14, 15, 16 years old and you cannot always control their actions and they get out and they get time with their friends? It's going to be drugs. It's going to be alcohol. It's going to be trouble with school. It's going to be trouble with relationships. It's going to be trouble parenting their kids and broken relationships and a sense of self-hatred that they are going to try for years to work through. So when parental alienation is part of the process that people are committing against their kids. It most definitely is an abuse. And any parent who is being alienated from their children, I strongly suggest that even without an attorney, you go in, you file financial hardship, and you get in front of a judge, and you lay out your case. You keep copies and document everything that you know. Make sure that you have proof of what is going on and that you want a counselor involved with your child. Give your child their own voice. All right. Before we move on to the next topic, which is going to be the Child Protective Service System and our family courts, we're going to only touch on this for about 20 minutes. But I want to remind everyone that if you want to watch the live video, and thank you, I really, really appreciate our watchers. I hope you share it with somebody. I hope that you get something useful out of it. But, you know, also remember that the studio is open as well. You can give me a call live at the studio, 929-477-2779. You can comment on the video because I can see any comments that are shared. I will be more than happy to share them. I want to thank everyone again. Remember, all of our archives, every program that has ever been done through the Butterfly Dreams Talk Radio or the Your Voice Radio Network, you can listen in. We've got over 200 episodes, and we have gained 45,345 listens to all of our programming. So I'm really, really proud of that. We've only been broadcasting for about 2 years off and on. So it's really, really good to be back on radio. Check out the video feed, trying that a little bit. Not always going to do this, but, you know, that's on my bad days. Remembering that I do have chronic health problems and migraines and shit and crap like that. You know, whoops, watch language. I can't always sit here and do live videos, so forgive me for that. I'll always let you know whether or not we are going to have video broadcasting. But either way, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 a.m., Topics with Trish on Your Voice Radio Network. All right, moving forward, let's go. CYS-CPS, I have so many people who call me. CYS is keeping my kids from me. CYS is making me do this or making me live here or they're in my house every week. I have one comment. What in the world is going on that you ever had a report against you in the first place? I can tell you for a fact that I've looked at the research in our social services program and our child maltreatment statistics across the board. Because every time a child maltreatment report is made, be it physical, psychological, sexual, whatever it may be, it's entered into what they call the National Child Abuse and Neglect Database. Now, 2013, I broke down these stats, and 93.2% or 94% of the maltreatments against children, no matter what they are, occur within the home. All right, they occur by a parent, a guardian, they occur by a sibling, somebody in the immediate family. All right, that's a proven fact. Only less than 7% involve a teacher or a coach or a stranger. So when a child is having problems, more often than not, it's inside their home. Now, we have 3.7 plus million reports of child maltreatment every single year. And it's still climbing. I believe, I know these numbers, and I know what it takes to get these reports made, because more often than not, this kind of stuff inside the home, unless there are actual signs that that child is expressing to the public, more often than not, even then, people will back off and say, oh my God, it's not my business. Not for me to get involved. They won't report it. That child is left. So more often than not, these reports are not made. Now, have we had problems with relationship and parenting issues that one parent or one family is reporting and falsely reporting? Absolutely. But when that social worker comes into your home for the very first time or sits down to talk to your child the very first time, what is it that is going on that keeps that social worker involved and eventually involves your child either being removed or being referred over for counseling or being taken into family court system? This, it is not their fault, okay? Not when we have numbers like this. You can't sit back and say, oh, social services is kidnapping my children. You did something. Somebody reported something. There was a fact that something happened. Maybe it wasn't all there. You know, maybe, I will give you the benefit of the doubt that there can be some overzealous caseworkers. But in truth, for the 3.7 plus million calls we've had every year for the past 10 years and still climbing, we only have about 40,000 social workers. That's across the country, 40,000. Now, 40,000 caseworkers involved in taking care of 3.7 plus million reports, all right? Do they get overburdened? Absolutely. Do they get burnout? Definitely. Are they getting the proper training? They have a standard that they have to follow. That standard needs to be updated. But more often than not, the abused and neglected and mistreated children are ignored before anything is ever reported. And it may go on, maybe it happens just once, maybe it happens over a long period of time. But more often than not, they are left to deal and left to cope. Maybe the maltreatment isn't bad enough, or maybe the family looks perfect on the outside. It happens all the time. And in every single community, in every single walk of life, do you think that the rich people who everybody believes are providing everything in the world for their kids, you know, guess what? Sexual abuse and physical abuse and neglect and emotional, psychological torture still happens, okay? There are no boundaries when it comes to violence and harm, especially against children or people inside our homes. It happens. Our country and our society has been doing this for centuries. You know, goes back to the days whenever men were allowed to beat their women in public so long as they had a switch no bigger than their thumb. You know, rule of thumb. Okay, that's where that came from, rule of thumb. Men were allowed to beat their women with a stick in public, size of their thumb. So if you have a problem with CYS and family court, which family court is screwed up, it's become a business. You need a mediator and you need a counselor and you need a child advocate and you need attorneys. Yeah, it's a business. And yeah, our court systems are not supposed to be about business. But it's the way it is right now. So don't do anything to hurt your kids. Don't alienate them from family, people that they should know, unless you have proof that there is harm. And then family services need to be involved. And you can get them counselors, and you can help them work out their relationship problems, because just because you two can't get along doesn't mean that they aren't still parent to that child. If you have a step-parent involved, be careful, be cautious. They may show you one side of themselves, but it may be another side of themselves whenever it comes to dealing with those kids. Also, CYS. Remember, you know, nobody will ever be able to convince me that for some reason, CYS has taken their kids because there is no way, no way, unless something is going on that is against their policies. And yes, we have a national policy system. That's just the way it is. Follow the rules. You know, don't be messing with your kids and messing with their lives. You know, don't be giving them medical marijuana unless you got a doctor slip for it. Don't be neglecting them or leaving them home alone underage. There are legal age limits for being left alone. And nationally, again, I think every state is different. For my kids, I was living up in Pennsylvania, age of home alone became 13. I believe it still is across the board. If they are not old enough to be left at home alone, make sure that a neighbor or a friend you can trust or a family member or the other parent that you don't want anything to do with. You know what? It's a great time for visitation. You need help. You've got to work. You need somebody to help take care of those kids. Do not make those kids take care of themselves. Summertime is coming. You know, they are going to be online and they are going to be, kids are curious. They are going to be going through the house. They're going to be bored. You know, they are going to be talking to people on the phone. They are going to be connecting with people around the world. Teach them, help them, protect them. That is your job. If you are a parent and you're not doing those jobs, then yeah, you know, CYS is going to take your kids and you're going to have to fight for them. And it's going to cost you a boatload of money. And you are going to have a mess on your hands for what could be the next 18 years, depending on when it starts. You know, if you're a mom, and last Tuesday we talked about pregnant moms using drugs. Your baby's born, they test positive for alcohol or drugs. Guess what? They take your baby. Now you've got to prove to the court that you can be responsible and take care of that child. You need a place to live. You need a full-time job. You need help from the state. They can help you find housing. They can help you reunit. It's about unifying the family. And if we are not telling our kids that, yes, they deserve to be safe and they deserve to be loved and they deserve to be respected and they deserve to know both sides of their family because they are human beings, and they are not pawns, and they are not objects, and they are not slaves, and they are not housekeepers or cooks or anything else. They are children. So, you know, there is a lot in this video that I know people won't agree with. That's all right. Freedom of speech, you have your right to your opinion. I have mine. Again, I am certified in the state of Illinois as a child advocate, as a domestic violence advocate, and as a trainer for human trafficking prevention and help. I do speaking, and I've spoke at universities, and I've been connecting and supporting people online since 2010. I've had family after family after family, parent after parent after parent contact me about the issues they're having with CYS and family court. There's a reason that they got involved in your child's life in the first place. And since I know for a fact that there's not enough caseworkers to handle each and every child, and the foster care system sucks in the U.S., and our family court system has become a business, and what it's going to cost you to get your children back and do what you're supposed to do for them, so be it. You got yourself in that mess. Very, very seldom, maybe one in 100 cases where an overzealous CYS worker took children without the necessary reasoning to take these kids, but because of suspicions. So, yeah, now you got to prove to them, is your child worth it? I think so. I think that it is your duty. If they feel that there is something wrong, whenever they've got caseloads and caseloads and caseloads of children that are seriously being harmed, and I mean burn marks and torture and slave, you name it, okay? When they have all of those other cases with all of that other proof, do you think that they're going to come and take your kids without cause and do all the paperwork and just rip your kids away from you? That's not the way it works. I'm sorry. You know, I know that you feel jilted or you feel let down that the system didn't help you, but I'm telling you, there's something. There is something, and maybe you don't want to admit it to yourself. Maybe you don't want to admit it to your family. Maybe you don't want to admit it to your friends, but there is a reason. Now, I know that our social services and our family court system absolutely need an overhaul, because the best interest of the child should never become a business. It should never become about ripping apart families. It should never become about how much money do you have to get your child back. It should never become about having to involve attorneys and, come on, you know? That should not be. What impression are we giving the kids then? And they're going to live with strangers, or they are being, or they're living in these foster care homes, or in the child care system itself, in these huge child services facilities, you know, and they are just there, and they're connecting with all these other kids that have been seriously, seriously hurt, okay? There is a reason why it matters what kind of a parent you are. And I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how poor you are. What I care about is, are you bonding with your child? Are you actually watching out for the best interest, their education, their medical care, their social skills, and their relationships with understanding both parents and their families? Do they really get the best of what you've got to give? And no, we don't always feel like doing it 7 days a week. And yes, it gets tiring and it gets frustrating and we get upset being a parent. And you're going to have your bad days. That's okay. We all do. Don't hurt your kids. Don't neglect them. Make sure they are clean and they are fed and they are cared for. Then you won't have CYS coming around snooping at your doors and wondering what's going on. All right. We're down to the last 6 minutes of the show. If you have any comments, please, you know, again, I appreciate anyone who's watching this. I do hope that you appreciate the information and how important it is that we rally together. You know, the quote is that it takes a village to raise a child. Yeah, it does. You know, if mom or and dad or an older sibling cannot be around to care for a kid, then we need other family. We need neighbors. We need trusted friends. Daycare is so outrageously expensive. And if you're a single parent and you make $3 over or 50 cents over a certain amount of money, guess what? It's coming out of your pocket. And I know back in the 90s when I was paying child care, it was $350 a month for the one, for my preschooler to go to daycare 5 days a week from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And for my two school-age children, 2 hours a week per, or 2 hours a day per child cost me $60 a week each child, so $120 a week for the two older kids, and then $350 a month for my youngest. Add those numbers together and see if you can afford to still work and pay child care expenses, or is it going to be more efficient to get help from services and family and trusted resources and free services through the YMCA or Big Brothers Big Sisters? Do something. Check it out. There are services around there. Remember that anywhere in the U.S. you can dial United Way 211. 211. United Way. They have a full list and a computerized system with each and every available resource, be it daycare, elderly care, child services, or psychologist, or behavioral specialist, or domestic violence help, or human trafficking help. They have all of their information in the nonprofit database. Just dial 211 anywhere in the U.S., and you will be able to find out. Tell them what you need. Tell them where you are, what you're looking for. They will tell you what's available. So there's no reason that kids should be neglected or mistreated. They can't defend themselves. They can't say no. They can't fight back. And who are they going to run to? Where are they going to go? So rather than beating them down, it's our job as a community to protect them and to lift them up. So, all right. I'm going to close out there. Thank you again for everybody that's watching. Any comments, anytime you want to share the archives or the videos, or you want to reach out to us here, I would love to announce your events. Summertime's coming, springtime's coming. So if you have an event and you want us to share it online, whether you are in California or you are in New York, doesn't matter. In Canada, doesn't matter, wherever you're at. Email us here at yourvoiceradio2017@gmail.com. You can reach me. Just tag your host. Tag Donna. Tag Lee. Tag Trish. Tag Dr. Rose. I will make sure they get that email. You know, we are a team here, and we want to be able to help you promote what you're doing, as well as how we can all come together to protect the safety, well-being, and nurturing of everyone in our communities. All right. Peace out, everyone. As I close off the radio, I'm going to use the song Another Day from George Robertson. I don't know if I'm sure that that won't play on the video, but if you listen to the radio archive by clicking on the link, you will definitely be able to hear the song. It's a phenomenal song. I want to thank George Robertson for submitting his donation. Again, it's Another Day by George Robertson for those listening via the radio line. Don't destroy your kids. Pick them up. Lift them up. They are our little selves. So give them the life that you want, that you wanted for yourself. Peace out. Have a great day. Happy Irish Day tomorrow, everybody. If you are Irish, which I am, Irish Indian, enjoy yourselves. Be careful out there. Let's see this weather start turning around and springtime come around the corner. Be well, pals. Bye-bye.